Want to welcome you all this morning. It's so good to have you with us. If you've got your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 22. And yes, we've been there recently, but I want to refer there again. I'll tell you why in a minute. If you were with us the last 2 weeks, I do want to say this. I want to change direction today. I know this is the Word of God that I'm going to refer to, and I believe the Word this morning is from the Lord, and so I'm changing direction from the last 2 weeks. I do want to say this about last week when we spoke about Halloween dangers. I did print off an article that I read on Monday. I put some copies on the table right behind this wall. It's called Hey Christians, the Halloween America Loves Has a Disturbing Past. I simply print that out to, as I said last week, to lay that out before you, to give you something to consider. So there's some copies on the back table. Matthew 22, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. I like its translation for this parable. I like it for its simplicity to understand. And most of you know, because I have told you this before, that a lot of the things that Jesus, a lot of the stories that he told were parables. And in case you forgot about what does a parable mean, a parable is a story that Jesus told them with an earthly flavor that they could understand, but a heavenly meaning. And so this story today, Matthew 22, is a parable with an earthly flavor that the listeners can understand, but a very heavenly meaning. Here we go, Matthew 22. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son." They could relate to that. A story with an earthly flavor. They can relate to kings preparing banquets and feasts for his son. "When the banquet was ready," Jesus said, "he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come." Now think about for a moment those people that are listening to him. He's telling this story, he's telling this parable, and this earthly flavor to this parable would suggest, okay, there's a king preparing a banquet, he's got a son going to get married, he's getting the feast together, he sent out invitations, and people aren't coming. They could relate to that, but in their minds, they would probably think, what in the world would anybody reject the invitation to a wedding with the king for? Are you still with me? They could relate to that part. So Jesus continues the story, and he says, he sent other servants to tell them the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fatted cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. That would be very typical of their day. Farmers and some having their own little businesses. Very typical. They went their own way, some back to their farm, back to their business. Others that had received the invitation, verse 6, others received his messengers and insulted them. And if that isn't bad enough, he says, and they killed them. Can you picture for a moment the people that are listening to this story? Thinking about, okay, a king has prepared a banquet. He's going to have a feast. His son is going to get married. He sent out invitations. The first one's ignored. And now he sent them out again. He's got everything ready. And some of the messengers they killed? The listeners would be thinking, that is outrageous. First of all, to deny something from the king, inviting people into the banquet, to the wedding supper of his son, and to deny that and say, well, you know what, I don't have time for that right now. And or to ignore that invitation and insult those bringing the invitation or kill them, the listeners would have thought, that is outrageous. They could have related to that. Jesus continues with the story. The king was furious. He sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out into the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. Are you still tracking with me, friends? The people that were listening would have been listening to the story, and they first would have thought, man, why would anybody turn that down? Why would anybody say they're too busy? Why in the world would they kill the messengers? And now he continues on, and he says, okay, they weren't worthy to come, so go kill those murderers. Why he calls them murderers, I don't know, because he just invited them to the feast a few minutes ago. But he did, and now he's saying, go out on the street corners, invite anybody you can find, so people would come. The listeners would be thinking at this point, finally, somebody listened, all is well. That's what they would be thinking. Then we get to verse 11 and he says, but. When the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. And yes, in their time, the proper attire for the banquet was very, very much the order of the day. The king approaches him and said, friend, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? The man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet, throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I want to mention two things here that I think are highly noteworthy. First, from this story and all parts of Scripture, I believe God is longing for people to come to the feast. Amen? I believe that's the heart of God. We can pick 100 more scriptures that show the heart of God. He is longing for people to be part of the feast. He has sent his son, he has sent messengers, he has sent prophets, he has sent priests, we've got his word. And according to this story, people are too busy to listen to the invitation. They were too involved with life. Well, we don't have time for that feast right now. Or are we getting mad at the messenger, for heaven's sakes? And in some cases, kill the invitation bearer. So I want to bring us 2 points here to start with. I believe, first and foremost, that God is so longing for people to come to the feast. He will send out opportunities to us in many different forms. It could be a church service, but it could be a whole lot more. Invitations for us to come to the feast. Come be part of that banquet. But according to what he said here, many won't make it. Many won't come. They will refuse to come. That's what he said first. They refuse to come. Many will ignore the invitation. Many will go their own way. Others will actually insult the messenger. And some places they will kill the messenger. and they won't be part of the feast. That's point number one. Point number two, I glean from this story, according to Scripture and according to this parable, you can't be part of the feast without the proper attire. Yes, this is a parable which has an earthly flavor, so they can relate to clothes and properly dressed coming into the wedding. But what he means is deeper. It is a heavenly meaning. You can't get into the wedding without Jesus. You can't get in there by religion. You can't get in there by being good. And some of you remember, just in the last month or so, whenever it was, I shared with you statistics from yet another depressing survey that said 30% of senior pastors suggest that we can get to heaven by being good. Now you would say, well, Jim, maybe they're right. Not according to the Bible. And so lest we think we can get there by being good, that's the wrong garments. When the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for the wedding. Friend, he says. Friend, he calls him. How is it that you are here without the wedding clothes? We can't be part of the feast, we can't be part of the kingdom of God without Jesus. Jesus has provided the garment of righteousness for us. When he died on the cross and took upon himself our sin, it's when we come to him by faith and embrace him by faith and receive him as Lord that we are justified in the eyes of the Father. Only through the shed blood of Jesus for our sins and our receiving him by faith do we put on the wedding garment. Jesus said it this way in Matthew or John chapter 3, you must be born again. And I love what John writes too in the first chapter when he's talking about Jesus. All through every verse, he's talking about Jesus. And he gets to verse 11 and he said, he came to his own and his own received him not. He's talking about Jesus coming to the Jewish people. And that's what happened. I don't have time for this. I got farming to do. I got a business to do. I got places to be. Or ignored the messenger. John said the same thing. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We can't be part of the feast by having our name on church membership, even though we've received some members today. They're not going to be part of heaven because they came and joined Motley Free Methodist Church. Those four that we receive today will be part of heaven someday because they have made Christ Lord of their life. We can't be part of heaven because, well, we're good, well, I joined this church, well, I'm religious. It's all because of Jesus. Jesus is the way, brothers and sisters. Jesus said he is the living water. He said he is the door. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is Jesus that makes it possible for us to be part of the feast. Amen? It is Jesus. Now, with that story in mind, I have another story to tell you. This one's also a true story. That's a true story because it comes from the Word of God. This one's also a true story. You can verify it by looking up this name or the places on Google. Ruth Anna Metzger and her husband Roy were excited about going to the wedding reception. After all, Ruth Anna was the soloist. She was a singer at this wedding. And this was the wedding of a very wealthy man. And so Ruth Anna and Roy were excited about going to the reception. And the invitation that they received indicated that the reception was going to be held on the top two floors of Seattle's Columbia Tower, which is the northwest tallest skyscraper. That's where the reception was going to be. Top two floors of Seattle's tallest building. When Ruth Anna and Roy arrived at the site, there were waiters there wearing their tuxedos, offering hors d'oeuvres and fancy foods to all the guests. The bride and groom were standing at the gorgeous staircase of glass and brass that led up to the top floor where the reception would begin. A satin ribbon was at the lower part of the stairs, across that would be ceremoniously cut. The announcement would be made. The couple would go up the stairs. The guests would follow them up the stairs to the feast and festivities that would begin up there. Ruth Ann and Roy were among many of the other guests as they arrived at the top of the stairs. They were greeted there by the maitre d', who was holding a book outside the entrance doors to the reception. The maitre d' said, "May I have your name, please?" Ruth Anna said, "My name is Ruth Anna Metzger. This is my husband, Roy." And the maitre d' began to search in the M's for their name in the book. "I'm not finding your name. Can you spell it for me, please?" Ruth Anna spelled it out very slowly. The maitre d' looked at the list again and said, "I'm sorry, but your name, it's not here." "There must be some mistake," Ruth Anna said. "I am the singer, after all. I sang at the wedding." The gentleman responded, "It doesn't matter who you are and what you did. You must have your name written in the book, or you cannot be part of the banquet." Just then, that same waiter motioned for another one. "Come, show these people to the service elevator, please." Ruth Anna and Roy were escorted past the beautifully decorated tables with whole smoked salmon and the magnificent carved ice sculptures. Next to the banquet area was an orchestra who was preparing to perform, all the musicians dressed in dazzling white tuxedos. But Ruth Anna and Roy were escorted to the service elevator. The waiter ushered them into the elevator and pushed G for the lower garage. They were going to miss it all. Driving several miles in shocked silence, Roy reached over and put his hand on Ruth Anna's and said, "Sweetie, what happened?" Tears began to swell in her eyes. And she said, "When the invitation arrived, I was busy. I never bothered to send in the RSVP. Besides that, I was the singer. Surely, as a soloist for this wedding, I could be part of the feast without returning the RSVP, she said. Then Ruth Anna started to weep. Not only because she had missed the most lavish banquet she had ever been invited to, but she began suddenly to remember and to realize and had a small taste of what it's going to be like for multitudes of people when they stand before Jesus and they find their names are not written in the book. That will be reality for multitudes. Jesus tells this story to remind, in that case, it was the Jewish people, that's who he was talking to that day, but to remind us, the invitation to come follow Jesus has been sent. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Jesus is not a religion. He is Lord. The invitation has been sent to us right here in America, 21st century, maybe through pastor, maybe through Christian radio, maybe through a track somebody told, shared with you, maybe through a neighbor that come and said, can I tell you about Jesus? But the invitation has been sent to all of us. And there will be multitudes of people right here in America today that will say, I got to get back to the farm. I got to get back to the factory. I got to get back to life. And they will ignore the invitation. There'll be people that are like Ruth Anna, and the invitation will lie there on the table someplace. And in their mind will say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher after all. For heaven's sakes, that should be good to go. And the invitation will lie there unanswered. And when that day comes, they will stand before the Son of God in all his glory. And the only thing they will hear is, depart from me. I don't know who you are. You know, friends, we go through life and we get busy with a lot of things. I've been reading the Bible a long time, and I'm reminded over and over and over in the Old Testament how idolatry bogged them down. They'd get caught up in idolatry. Oh, it could be 100 different things today. We don't maybe bow down to Moloch like they did, but it's something. And we get involved in life. And we forget to answer the invitation. The RSV has not been sent back. We never got really serious with Jesus. We're busy, after all. We're busy. And sometimes we hear the invitation to come to Christ, whether it was through Billy Graham or a dozen other invitations. And sometimes we're just like the people that Jesus described, offended at the invitation. Put out at the invitation. Angry at the deliverer. Sometimes we're just like it. And I'm here to tell us today, friends, if we're like the people that Jesus described, they ignored the invitation. They were too busy for the invitation. They scoffed at the invitation. They ridiculed and killed the messenger. They're not going to be part of the feast. Or if they're like the person that Jesus described in the latter part of this, he came into the wedding feast. He did not have the clothes for the wedding. He did not have the proper attire. And as I read from some, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as I read from other portions of first century traditions, a wedding garment was provided to you if you didn't have one. So there was no excuse. But there will be people there that day that thought they were into the wedding, only to have the master say, you're not prepared for the feast. And there will be people on that day just like Ruth Anna. I'm the singer. Some might say, I'm the pastor. Some might say, I'm the Sunday school teacher. I'm the board member. I'm the deacon. But they never put on Christ. They never got serious with Jesus. And so I'm simply reminding us of this story, these stories today, friends. Because maybe there's someone here listening that's just like one of these people. Yes, you've been to church. Yes, you're a good person. but never got serious with Jesus. Never responded to the invitation. And in your mind, you're wrestling with, well, I did this and I did that, and I'm the singer at the wedding. There's going to be people just like that on that day. There's probably people like that sitting in churches today. Well, I get to church once in a while. What else you want? Have you surrendered to Christ? A while back when we were going through Romans, I love the Romans 10, 9 and 10 verses, and I reminded of that a while back when we were in Romans. And Paul says, there's a way to be saved. There really is. We don't have to go through life wondering, am I going to be part of the feast? We can know we're going to be part of the part of that feast. Jesus said, or John said it in 1 John, he that has the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son, they don't have life. They're not going to the feast. And Paul said it this way, if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing in our heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved, Paul said. We don't have to go through life wondering, am I going to get to be part of the feast? When I encounter people and ask them, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you going to be part of Kingdom of Heaven someday? And I get, I hope so. We can do better than that because of Jesus. He that has the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. I'll say this again. This is not a religion. This is not a denomination. This is the Messiah. This is Lord. Have I embraced him by faith? Have I repented of my sin? Have I received him? Am I walking with Jesus? I'm going to close this way today, friends. I'm just going to ask us all to bow our heads and think this through a minute. Bow our heads together and close our eyes. And I want us to ponder this story just for a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want us just to think about this. Think about this that Jesus said, my Father is preparing a feast. And what he's talking about is the bride. That's the church. That's not a denomination. That's followers of Jesus Christ. They'll be joined to the groom, the Lamb of God. And he sent out invitations to us. And I just want to ask us to ponder, friends, what have you done with the invitation? Have you responded by faith to Christ? Do you know that you know your name is in that book because of Jesus and your faith, your response to what he's done? Because if you're not sure, friends, I want to ask you today, will you consider by faith receiving Christ today? And if you're here and you want to, just slip your hand up. Slip your hand up and I want to pray with you. If you're here today and you're not sure, slip your hand up and so I can pray with you. So you know that too, you're going to be part of that feast someday. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. Remember what Paul just said. We believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit who is calling us, some that are here today, calling us not to depend on our religion, not to depend on, well, I'm pretty good, not to depend, well, I got my name written on a membership of a church, but help us to be keenly aware, it is Jesus. It is Jesus. He's the only way to the Father. He's the one that said that. Help us to be keenly aware of that today. It is Jesus to be part of the banquet. And Father, for those that have raised their hand, I pray that they would simply by faith believe on the Lord Jesus and confess by their mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is going to be Lord for me. And so, Father, I just pray that for those that are wondering or those that have raised their hand today, that they would surrender their life completely to you, trusting in you by faith and knowing that they've given it to you. They've given their life, they've given their agenda, they've given their future, they've given it all to you. Thank you, Father, that you've made that feast that Jesus talked about, you've made that very possible for us. May we not be amongst the crowd that ignored the invitation. May we not be amongst the crowd that, like Ruth Anna, for the earthly feast, did not send in the RSVP. May we not be like that who didn't get right with you, Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. I pray for the salvation of this nation. I pray, Father, that if people are sitting in churches today, this one or 1,000 others or 10,000 others, they're sitting in church today basing their feast entrance on their religion, I pray that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord for them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move in this community and the communities from which we come, and you would save those that are basing their feast entrance on something other than Jesus. I pray for them and pray that they'd be keenly aware of what Jesus said. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father, nobody's part of the feast outside of Jesus. And when they become keenly aware of that, I pray that by faith they will trust in Christ and commit to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for our sin. Thank you for making the feast possible, Father, for all of us through Jesus, your Son. I pray in his name, amen. Let's stand together and sing this closing song.
Jesus, will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
After I've closed in prayer, friends, I'm just going to stay up here and pray for anyone that wants to come by and ask a question or talk about what I've just talked about. But I want to encourage you again, don't go through life like these people in this parable, thinking all is well. You've ignored the RSVP. If you haven't sent it back, you've ignored the invitation. Don't go through life and find out, like the guy that came into the wedding that day, you're not ready for the wedding. You're not ready. Don't find out on that day. It's too late then. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for your grace. Oh, it is so good. Your mercy is so good. Your grace is always so willing to go a little further than our sin took us. Thank you for that. Thank you for parables, these earthly stories that the listener there and the listener here can relate to. And thank you for the deeper meaning, Father, that we also understand because we've got your word, the deeper meaning of this story. You're talking about heaven. You're talking about people missing Jesus. Thank you for the clarity of this parable. I pray again, Heavenly Father, that if we're wondering today if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I pray that we wouldn't delay another day, that we would surrender everything to you, repent, believe, and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and begin a journey with Jesus that's real. I do pray, Father, that you would grant safety for people that are out traveling and people hunting. I do pray that you would be with this nation as we go to the polls on Tuesday. I do pray, Father, that your will is done. Our nation needs you, Lord. I want to say forgive us again for our sin. Our nation needs you. Go with each one here today, Father, with a touch of the Master's hand, and help us leave knowing I've returned the RSVP. I have put my faith in Christ. When God calls, I'm going to be part of the banquet because of Jesus and because I've surrendered everything to Him. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.